Good morning. The message had to have a title, I guess. So the title of the message this morning was Flesh or Spirit? Which are we allowing ourselves to be led by? Heavenly Father, just thank you and praise you for an opportunity to bring forth your word. Just anoint my lips to speak forth what you want to come forth, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory and thank you for another glorious day in you, Father. Amen. Romans 8. And it disappeared. Can't have that. Starting at verse 1 in the King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in his likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, be ye debtors not unto the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, if you aren't born again, you're really living after the flesh, because that's the first thing in your mind. If you look at anything in the world system, it's body, soul, spirit, because it's driven towards what you can get for your body, get for yourself, please your body, please you. But once we become born again, that flips. At least it should. It should be spirit, soul, and body. We should be feeding our spirit man first of all and foremost, putting everything that we can into a spiritual walk with God. Now, one of the examples in the Bible was Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, we have Elijah, 11 and 12. Elijah had a lot of things that he did, mighty works. He was one of the major prophets. He was well into his walk of doing what he was supposed to with God. Even though he was an Old Testament prophet, he was doing things for God. He was healing people. Miracles were happening in his life. God was blessing him. Then all of a sudden, one woman got in his way by the name of Jezebel and put out a message that she killed some other prophets, then she was coming after him. So he's hid away. So even though he was walking in the Spirit, having mighty things going, all of a sudden his flesh decided, I don't know about this. She's coming to kill me. So he goes into a cave. And when he's in the cave, he's praying. And he was standing upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, pieces of rock before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind, after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. We can see in the scriptures that Elijah had experience of understanding seeing God in the wind. You can go back to where God parted the Red Sea. He blew a mighty wind and they went back. He heard of these things that has happened. The power of God that was in the wind. There's multiple places where the wind would blow. The wind of God would blow and mighty things would happen that he already experienced. Now we have Elijah that he actually went up in what? A chariot of fire as a whirlwind blew. Okay, so he understood wind before this situation that he's in right now and then after. So he understand God moving in wind. We might have situations in our life where the wind of God rushes in and completely blows away the situation, and that's great. And we're excited about it. I love those experiences when the wind of God just blows in and takes care of all of it. But in this instant, God just wasn't in the wind for him. After the wind was earthquake. An earthquake. I'm sure he heard the stories about the mountain that Moses went up, how it shook. There's a number of instances before the situation where Elijah's in that he understood that the earth shook. There was earthquake situations that happened. So, you know, I'm sure it happened in his life when something powerful happened. The earth shook because he was a prophet of God. He operated in that. But in this instant, God wasn't in that. He wasn't in the earthquake moving business in this situation. He wasn't speaking to him in that way. Now, there's times in our life where he shakes everything up in our lives. And you know he's moving because everything in our lives is being shook up, moved, everything begins to shake, and we don't really know what's going to happen, but all we can do is trust in him, because it doesn't feel good when there's an earthquake going on in our lives. But God wasn't in an earthquake in this situation in Elijah. Then there was the fire. Now, I'm sure he read and heard about Moses in the burning bush. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. I'm sure he heard that, read about it. He experienced it, calling fire from heaven, consumed. He understood God can come and speak in a mighty fire and just completely annihilate the problem. But God wasn't in that in this situation. He was in a still, small voice. Now, the reason I'm bringing that passage of Scripture up, it has to do with, are we being led by our flesh or by our spirit? There was mighty things going on in Elijah's life. He was doing mighty things for God. But one situation came up that scared him into the flesh and in a hurry, that he had to get before God and find out, God, how are you taking care of the situation? Are you just going to blow her away? Are you going to shake the foundation of that kingdom that she, Jezebel, has control of? Or are you just going to consume her by fire? However you want to do it, Lord, let's do it. It wasn't in any of those. It was in a still, small voice. We can get so caught up in things, even when everything's going great, then all of a sudden something side swipes us. Can we still hear God's voice in a still, small voice? If you don't get anything else out of this message, that's the one thing I want to underline. We have to be able to have our mountain to go to hear God every day. We just got to take time and get still. It says, be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10, I believe. Just be still and know that He is God. He wants to work in every situation in our lives. What does it mean to be still before God? To actually be able to hear from Him. There can't be any commotion. I love when God speaks to me when I read His Word and He speaks to me. Because with His Word being implanted inside of us, we have His voice to hear from. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't even hear clearly what God's saying unless you have what He said instilled. It's not a condemnation, just like Romans said it. It's not a condemnation if you don't have multiple amounts of Word inside of you, but we should be ingesting the Word of God so there's something to pull from. The further we go in our walk, we should have more of the Word of God to stand on, to be stable upon, that we can hear Him clearly in that time of trouble, in a still, small voice. It doesn't have to be just a great big blowout, which I love when He takes care of them that way. A situation can be just flipped just like that. Each and every one of us has a testimony where God, you're in a complete destitute problem, and God came and it was suddenly taken care of. It was either burned up, shook apart, it had nothing, or blown away. It had nothing to hold on to anymore in your life. But what about the times where the only time you're hearing is a still, small voice? So as we ingest more of the Word, we have more to draw from. We can hear it from praise and worship music. His voice might come to us. He'll be saying something to us in that, and we can pick up on it. But He is speaking all the time. He's always speaking to us. He's singing over us. He's constantly wanting to communicate with us. I truly believe the main purpose of Elijah's thing that he was going through was God wanted to realize this is a personal relationship with His creation and God, with you and God. There has to be those personal times. And I believe every single day we should take some time out to be still. If you've got kids, run in a closet, lock the door, hide from them, do something. They'll find you eventually, but get that moment of time. If your work doesn't allow it, you know, when you're driving to work, take that time. Find time and just continue to build on that time. And you'll be amazed what can be going on. It could be like a ballroom setting, noise everywhere. But God could say to you, Frank, I want to talk to you. And you'll be able to hear it. You know, Virginia, I want to speak to you. And you'll be able to hear that in a great big sounding, what's going on. You might be out in Walmart. It's noisy and everything. Music they have playing. But He might want to speak to you. Go to the bathroom. Get alone. You know, do something. I mean, when He starts to speak, find time. Because there's something important He wants to say to us. We need to just take time out and be still before Him. That's being led by the Spirit. That's yielding to the Spirit of God. That's yielding to the Spirit that we truly are. Because when we are in the world, we're nothing but about the flesh. We should be all about the Spirit. And believe me, He'll take care of the soulish realm and the flesh if we're listening to Him for what He has to say to do it. You'd be amazed some things He might tell you in order to lose weight. You'd be amazed what He might say in order for you to have financial blessing. It might, and most of the time, your flesh goes, uh-uh. Well, that's pretty good indication. It might just be God. Because if your flesh doesn't like it, more than likely it's coming from the Spirit of God. Because your flesh is at enmity with God. It doesn't like that. It's not always like that, but it can be. That's why it's important for us to be able to be still and listen to that still small voice every single day and have Him move in our lives. Because I truly believe from the past year, the rethink, retool, relaunch is going to be a continuous thing in our lives. It's not a one-year thing. It's a continual building. But He wants us to rethink our relationship with Him. He wants us to retool our relationship with Him so He can relaunch us into even greater and better things than we have done before. Because He just wants to communicate with us. That's what it's all about, a communication and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants to speak to each and every one of us individually, every day, that we be able to have a relationship with Him that surpasses anything we can imagine, think, or hope for.
Still small voice. Pastor Brad touched on hearing the voice of God while reading the Word of God. Sometimes I think we've heard it. We've heard that phrase. We've heard that said. But what does it really mean practically? What does it really sound like? What does it feel like? What happens when the Word of God speaks to you specifically? How many listen to, if you listen to a really good song or a poem or whatever, you get goosebumps? It's like you get that little chill or whatever. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you hear somebody that's got a talent that is incredible, then add anointing on top of that, and it's like you get goosebumps. When Jordan, I forget his name now, the guy who just won The Voice, right after the terror attacks in France, that was on the weekend, that Monday night he got on and sang, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It literally took Adele's "Hello," which was the number one song in America in the world at that point, it put her down to number two and took the spot, because there was something that happened when he sang the song at the right time, at the right moment. It gave people that didn't even know God goosebumps. So you know what I'm talking about when I talk about that chill, that thing that happens to you when you're reading the Word of God. It's interesting because sometimes we read the same passage of Scripture over again and over again and over again, and it's just good information. It's good, but every once in a while you read a passage of Scripture and all of a sudden it gives you a chill. It gives you like a goosebump and you go, "What was that about?" I'm telling you, that is a really good practical sign that God is trying to speak to you about something specific, at least just for you. Doesn't mean it's only just for you, but it's at least for you. When you read a passage of Scripture and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes off on your head, a passage of Scripture you've read 1,000 times or 100 times or 5 times, and all of a sudden you read it and it goes, Well, that was strange. No, it's not strange. God's trying to speak to you through the Word of God. It's not the only way, but it's a good way to practically feel, to kind of know, okay, maybe God's trying to talk to me. Or out of nowhere, you get a chill. You're not hearing anything spectacular. There's no special song on. Nobody's really said anything. That's the moment to look around. Look around and see who's around me. What is God trying to say to me? Because in the beginning, sometimes it takes a little while to figure out that it's God. Then when we figure out that it is God, we may not quite be sure about what he's saying. So look around. And like he said, if the flesh is going, no, that's probably what he's pointing at. Right? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm really excited about what's going on around here. Sometimes we look and we see with the naked eye, we don't really see very clearly. But in the Spirit, God is speaking to us. There's something unique and different about here from places that I've been before, churches that I've gone to. When I was younger, I would go to church. And you really had no idea what the preacher was going to preach about. You really had no clue because it was so random. It could have been about anything under the sun each Sunday or each time there was church. But I think a unique thing about here is it's like God is speaking to us in a relationship form where it goes from one service to the next service, like he's having a conversation with us, and he's not really changing the subject. We're still having the same conversation. Like, for example, Elijah. He had just had an encounter with God where he had answered by fire, consumed the water, the rocks, everything with fire. He had a pretty strong belief after that one, don't you think? Somehow or another, Jezebel's threat gave him another belief, like that she could do anything about it. It was a belief that was contrary to the belief that he had. I love how God is speaking to us. And sometimes it's through that still small voice, but he is definitely a God of variety. Because he likes sometimes to do it in the earthquake and in the fire, sometimes in the still small voice. Heavenly Father, we love you. We honor you and we thank you for all that you've done for us, for your mercy and for your grace, for your kindness and for your love towards us. Lord, we're so thankful that we know that you sing over us and you don't sing songs of hate or destruction, but you sing love songs over us, telling us how much you love us and how much you care for us. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people this morning. I pray that you would touch their lives. Keep our minds stayed upon you. Stir up those gifts that you've placed within us, causing us to reach out and to touch those that are around us with your mercy, with your goodness, and with your love. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We will have service tonight. Next Sunday, we won't. There's a department head meeting in the afternoon, and sometimes that goes really late. So we won't have worship service next Sunday night, but we will this Sunday night. All right? Be blessed in Jesus' name. And there's soup out there in the vestibule area.